our y'all's prayer this morning. As always, when I go to get up, my fear is that I move with carefulness before the Lord, that I bring out the thoughts He wants. My prayer when I'm studying is, Lord, I don't know the hearts of the people. I can't see that. So I look to Him to guide me as far as what is the topic that He wants and what does He want brought forth. So I ask you all to please pray for me this morning. I'm going to start off with a verse in Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 11. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." And so looking at this verse and looking at the words, wealth gotten out of vanity. Now the word that they had for vanity means vapor or breath. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Wealth gotten by vapor or by breath shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. I was thinking about that, looking at the commentaries, and a lot of them were talking about easy money, things that, you know, we get money, but we really didn't have to work for it. There was mention about lottery winning. Somebody gets a lottery ticket, they win, and it's easy money. Also, gambling winnings. You know, you didn't put a whole lot into it. You go, if you play the slot machines, you put a few dollars in, you pull a lever, and you gain money. And also fraud, the fact that you can use fraud to gain things. And I thought those were obvious, but I got to thinking, what other methods of making money would be considered vapor or breath? One thing came up, a sudden windfall. Have you ever seen somebody, they suddenly had a relative die, came into a lot of money? Have you noticed how a lot of times that money doesn't seem to last? Even though they didn't gain it illegitimately, it wasn't gained by labor. And basically, looking at it, if we don't earn things through diligent labor and skill, we don't tend to value those the same as the things that we had to work hard for. Paper millionaires was another thought that came to my mind. Have you all heard the news? Sometimes you'll have a market crash and you have all these wealthy people that suddenly have no wealth. According to the news, they had owned all of this stock, and they were worth millions, but now they're only worth a couple thousand dollars. You know? Thinking about that, there's been a story recently. How many of y'all have heard of the company called Theranos? You may or may not have heard of it. It's been in the news quite a bit the last probably 5 to 10 years. It was started by a lady whose name was Elizabeth Holmes. She started it when she was 19 years old. She dropped out of college. She had been going to school for chemistry and had made up a way to supposedly test blood quicker, easier, requiring less blood, not as many needle pricks. So she started this company when she was 19 years old. She began promoting the company. And in her promoting of the company, a lot of times people would ask, well, how does it work? And she would get kind of cagey, saying, well, that's the trade secret, and I can't tell you that because if I told you that, it would enable competitors to compete with us. So while there were some concerns there, the overall technology appeared to be working. At one time, she was worth, on paper, $4.5 billion. The company was valued briefly between $9 and $10 billion. By all looks of things, she had things made. She'd even had an agreement with Walgreens to utilize her technology in their blood testing when people came into the store. And then some reporter did an investigative report on the company and found out that her company wasn't even using its own technology. The bulk of the technology they were using was the old stuff that she said wasn't good anymore. And the more they dug into it, they found out none of her items had been FDA approved, so they shouldn't really have been used in this setting. And the more they dug into it, Basically, the house of cards collapsed. She was told she had to give up the leadership in the company. She had to return the stock to the company. And the last thing that I heard was actually in June of this year. She's facing federal charges for criminal fraud. And her current estimated net worth, $0. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. She really didn't have the product she said she had. She had tried developing it, but when it hadn't worked out, instead of being honest with the investors and everyone, she tried to make it look like it was working, tried to make it work anyway. So her wealth was gained by breath, by a vapor. There's also other ways that people have been getting wealth. How many of y'all have heard of people that play the stock market? And I'm not against folks that invest wisely. And I use the term play for a reason. Because there are some folks, when they go look at the stock market, they don't go look at it as a place to buy companies of value. They look at it as a place to buy a stock at a certain price, hold it for a period of time, and sell it for hopefully a higher price. They have zero interest in the company behind it. As part of what's out there today is a trading technique that's referred to as high-frequency trades. So with all of our computer technology today, there are some folks that have figured out that if I can buy and sell fast enough, I can buy a stock, I can take $100, buy stocks that are going up, and sell them multiple times a second. Sell it, get my 1/1000th of a penny, buy another $100, let it go up again, sell it, get my 1/100th of a penny. And if I do this really rapidly, I can actually make money this way. And they do it. They've got programs out there that can trade 7,000 to 8,000 shares a second. And as long as the shares are going up, they're selling as fast as they can. When it stops, they sell off what they got. And all they lose is that last little bit. But all the little micro profits, if you want to call it, they put in the bank. The problem with that is it can manipulate the market. One gentleman was doing that, and on May 6, 2010, he triggered what's referred to as a flash crash. In just a matter of about 30 minutes, the stock market had lost over $1 trillion because of his activities, although it did gain most of it back. But when they went in to do the investigation, they basically found out that this man, using his human wisdom, had said, if I place an order to sell some of my stock, and it's a large order, it'll cause the price of the stock to drop. And then if I run this micro trade real fast and cancel my order, the price will go back up and I'll make money. And that's what he attempted to do. However, because of the way all of these computers are connected together, when he did his micro trades, there were other people that were doing micro trades on the other side of the equation, and it caused the two computers to basically go into a tailspin. And at one point during the day, the stock exchange actually had to stop trading to let the system stabilize so they could bring things back up. Once again, these traders weren't trading value of the company. They could care less. If they were buying stock, and just to pick a company in Coca-Cola at the time, they didn't care what the actual value of the stock was. All they cared about is it going up or down right now? That's all I care about. Back to the people that had the paper money, all the money's in the stock market, they really don't have any money in the bank. We've heard of the millionaires that's lost that. Have you all heard of the millionaires or people that commit suicide because they lose their stocks? I did a little research, and we had a recession recently between 2008 and 2010. And in those 2 years, based on what they've been able to glean, there were what they call 10,000 economic suicides. 10,000 people killed themselves because their value on paper changed. They were that attached to that value that really didn't exist. It was a breath. It was a vapor. It wasn't real money in the bank. You may be wondering why I'm talking about all of this. How are we investing spiritually? What are we investing in spiritually? Are we looking at our spiritual investments as really stocking up treasure in heaven? Or do we get sidetracked into the benefit we get from those here, our reputation, our standing in the church, in the congregation? Because the folks that couldn't survive the recession, they were looking at the impact to them, to their standing, to their image, and they couldn't take it. I read a story, I don't remember the gentleman's name, I tried to look it up, but it's been probably a month or so ago, but there was an article about a German investor. He's been investing in the stock market since 1917. And they say he's one of the few investors that made it through the Great Depression without losing money. And they were talking about that because it's a rarity. And his secret, he said, was you buy value. You don't buy a stock because it's going up or down. You buy stock because the value of that stock is a good buy compared to the company. That company actually is worth more than the stock you're buying. And that means the stock is good to have. It's going to retain its value and more than likely go up. But it's a long-term look. It's a look that says, I'm going to buy this because I think it truly has value that's worth holding on to. It's not something I'm buying just to hold on to it while it has value and then sell. It's a different way. You all have heard of Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett became the majority shareholder in Coca-Cola. And what may surprise people is he bought most of his shares in Coca-Cola when it was dropping like a rock in the 80s. And he kept buying. And people kept wondering, what is this crazy man doing? It was like a year that the stock just kept going south and Warren Buffett just kept buying. Now, there's a little known thing about Warren Buffett. His family ran a candy business. And if you've ever read much in his investment books, he didn't really try to invest in anything he didn't understand. So if it was a business he didn't understand, he stayed out of it. But if he understood it, he would buy into it. And listening to some of what's been written about his thoughts on when Coca-Cola was going south, he's looking at it, and he realized that a lot of it was due to health concerns, due to poor marketing practices. Anybody remember the new Coke that came out for a while? And he was looking at that saying, well, the company's made some errors and the stock has dropped because of it. But underneath, that's a company with value. Long term, this company's going to do well. And so he continued to buy. So with our focus on our spiritual life, how are we buying? Look at Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, looking at verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And let's also turn and look at Luke in chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, looking at verses 33 and 34. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bag which racks not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I got to thinking about these two verses. Where your treasure is where your heart's at. But do you know where your heart's at determines a lot of where you invest your current treasure? If you're caught up in image, how do I look? How am I perceived? You're going to spend a lot of effort trying to maintain that image. You're going to put more treasure there because that's valuable to you. The same thing goes for our spiritual lives. Are we looking at what's truly out there for us? Are we looking at the long term? What does God want from us? Or have we done something in our lives because we feel like that, you know, Lord, I want to please you. I want people to like you, but I also want them to like me. And I know this is expected of me. And so I'm going to do this because I want people to think I'm a good Christian. I'm not saying that trying to be a good Christian is wrong. But if you look at that underlying motivation, you can have people that invest in a business because they think it's a good business investment long term, or they invest in a business because their focus is, I can make a profit really quick here. The one is totally focused on the I, the me. The other one is focused on, if I put money into this business, it will continue to grow. And by putting money into it along with the other investors, we all will continue to profit. And it's a difference in it. There are regulators that have looked at the way stocks are traded now, and they've raised some concerns because it can be manipulated, and manipulated in the benefit of one entity. I think back in the time I've been alive, we've seen troubles in the church. We've seen divisions come up. We've seen ministers step down and some even leave. And the one thing that struck me is looking at that, I've watched some of the ministers that stepped down. They stayed. They stepped down. Some of them stepped completely back from the ministry. But what you noticed if you watched their lives was you saw that there was a focus on the value of heaven. That's what they were looking at. The issue they found themselves in was a distraction they'd rather not been involved with, but it was something they found themselves in and they had to deal with it. And in dealing with it, they chose to, if you will, take a loss for the Lord. But in doing so, set that long-term investment of, I'm still invested in heaven. Others left completely. Some walked away. Some of the ministers walked away. They didn't do it loudly. They left quietly, but they still left. And still others left with a uproar. They made a big noise and a big scene as they went. Looking at that in our lives, where are we? Are we investing for the Lord, completely for Him, willing to take a short-term loss to keep that long-term investment for heaven? Or are our lives such that when we realize we've got to take a loss for the Lord, we're ready to turn it in? It's time to sell this stock and go get something else. This one's not working anymore. It's not making me a profit. You know, there's been many a person, and I've got some investments, so I do try to read. But there's been many a person in some of the books you read that they decided to sell quickly their stock only for it to turn around. And if they would have held on to it because it had value, they would have been okay. They would have made money. But because they got in a hurry and was so focused on the immediate short-term impact, they let themselves make a decision that was unwise. And with our spiritual lives, we have to be focused on that. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19, says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And I thought about that last part, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You know, there is blessings of living for the Lord here on the earth. But I look at that as more of a side blessing. Because the real reason why I follow the Lord is I want that long-term enjoyment with Him. I want to be able to spend eternity with Him. And if I lose sight of that, if I get just focused on the short term, I can be led astray. I also think of there in Revelations chapter 3, verse 17, and it was read in the Sunday school this morning, the advice to the church at Laodicea, starting there in chapter 3, verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." I think this warning applies to all of us today, that we be careful when we consider what we're investing in spiritually. Because just like you can go into the stock market and invest wisely and carefully and do well, you can also invest and appear to do well for a short term and then lose everything. And I would challenge us today to really consider what is the motivation and where are we investing for the eternity. You all pray for me.